I want to thank you for that introduction. And I want you guys to know that most of it's true, too. No. That's a lawyer joke. So anyway, let's pray again. And it's great to be here. Father, thank you, God, for the opportunity for us to come together, Lord, and hear from your word. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit just to bless us, Lord, and myself included, Lord God, as we look in your word, Father, and look at the Apostle Paul, and let us be challenged and encouraged, Father, with the hope that is within us. No matter what we face, Lord, we know that you're with us, and with you, you bring your peace and your victory. We give you the praise now for what you're going to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you at times in life have been sort of going through life, and everything seemed to be going really well, and then suddenly something happens where you know you've got to deviate, you know you need to go to help this person or help this ministry, or there's just something that happens, or something in your family, you have to, you know, buck up and help them, and it's called like when the bell tolls. Have you ever had that happen in your life where there's anyone ever? I think we pretty much all have, thank you. And well, that's what happened to me. It was about, well, I guess it was 1997. At the time, I was a Western Regional Coordinator for an organization headquartered back east called Rutherford, and I'd opened an office for him 5 years prior to that. So we were here in our Sacramento office. We opened, it was, you know, defending religious freedom, and everything was going really great. After 5 years, the network of attorneys was established, everything was really smooth. And what happens in life when everything's really smooth? Suddenly, there you are in cruise control, and suddenly a big cow gets in the middle of the road, and you have to go left or right or have lots of hamburger meat. And that analogy works really well in Texas, okay? But anyway, well, so that's what happened, and the national office called me and said, Brad, we're going to close down the last two regional offices, the one in Dallas and yours in Sacramento. But don't worry, we have a promotion for you. Why don't you head up our new public affairs office in Washington, D.C. You'll be the media point man for all of our cases, all of our litigation across the country. And I looked at this and I thought, well, that's nice. That sounds good. And I thought about a couple of days and said yes. And of course, I didn't have to pray about this because it was obvious that God was closing one door and opening another door. So you don't have to pray about those things. Yeah, you guys. Yeah. And then the insomnia came. And the confusion, and my mind was fighting itself, and I could not sleep, and I could not sleep. And finally, I thought, I have no choice. I have to pray. Now, the reason I didn't want to pray, I'll be honest with you, is because deep down, I was afraid I was going to have one of those things that happen when I pray, which is there's the easy way, and then there's this faith-stretching thing. And I usually, it's often a faith-stretching thing. And I was afraid. So I went ahead and prayed. I had no choice. And so I prayed, and the first question God brought to my mind was, Brad, what desires has God put on your heart? Just bam, I thought. Well, to make sure that everyone gets help. Well, we got people up there. I didn't notice you guys. All right, okay. Anyone else? Okay, good. So the next question was, Brad, what desires... The next question was, okay, Brad, what do you choose to follow? Basically, the desires, Brad, that God's put on your heart or something else like your obsession with security. See, my dad was an entrepreneur, and that's why I was never going to be one. So some of you can relate to that. You know, risk and up and down and rags to riches several times over. No, give me security. I love security. Give me the most dependent upon position in Walmart. I'm happy, okay? So, nonetheless, I felt convicted, and so with boldness and courage, I said, yes, Lord, I will rise the call. I will rise the challenge. I will boldly go on several conditions. Because I was scared. I was really scared. And you know what's interesting is oftentimes we think, you know, God doesn't know what we're feeling, so we're just, you know, he just wants these grandiose statements of faith. He wants us to be transparent. I mean, maybe we think, well, you know, if God knew what I was thinking, then, well, yeah, he knows what you're thinking, so let's be honest. And look at an example. Where do you guys go in the scriptures usually when you're really down? You want to be encouraged. You want to be lifted up. Where is your most common place people go? Where? Psalms, right. And so what do? You go to Psalms, and you go, okay, let's see here, Psalms. Ooh, not this one. No. Ooh, no, not this one. You go, here's one. Okay, we're all psalm flippers, okay? You don't have to, we just are. Why are we psalm flippers? Because David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, David was a man who communed with God, and he honestly, and God wants us to do that. And so I knew I was scared, stiff, and I says, God, I'm scared. I need to have signs that this is from you because I don't want to go into it unless I know absolutely it's from you. So I just need a few little signs. Like, I need to have free office space indefinitely donated in Sacramento. Indefinitely. Free. Free computer systems, because if I don't have computers, I can't function. I've got to have a computer. We have to be, you have to keep me on the radio stations for free. There were two that interviewed me weekly. Because if I'm not on radio, no one's going to know about us. We're wasting our time. We have to be in the black in 3 months because I'm not going to get into debt for Jesus. I'm sorry. That's not my... I'll do other things, but I will not get into debt that just violates where I'm at. Just, I was a finance undergrad. I know debt is bad. So, and then finally, I was never going to charge anyone at any time for any work we ever did. I thought I was very reasonable with my requirements. And God in his grace came through on all of it. And in fact, the first 90 days, Attorney General Ed Meese, who served under Ronald Reagan, I called him up. I says, why not? See what happens. Hey, you want to be chairman of our advisory board? I'm just starting this new organization. Didn't have any gray, okay. And he says, yeah, Brad, I'd love to. I'd love to be behind you. And da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, I mean, I hardly know you. I mean, you know, he's, that's what God does. And the neat thing is, he taught me that in the beginning I thought, this is going to be Brad's ministry, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. God taught me, he says, no. This is God's ministry. And by his grace and mercy, he presently has Brad Dacus participating at this time. And there's so much freedom that comes when you realize it's not about us. It's all about God and what he wants to do and where he wants to put us. I'll never forget once the economic downturn hit. And because I was a finance undergrad, and I love economics, I told my wife, I said, honey, this isn't a little recession. This is a major game changer. This is a major earth shaker here. I says, PGI, theoretically, we could just go under. I may have to be a janitor. And you know what she told me? She said, honey, she didn't blink. She says, honey, if you were a janitor, you'd probably be the most on-fire janitor for Jesus. And you'd be so many people coming to Christ and being a disciple. I said, you know, you're right. That'd be an awesome ministry. Because the whole point was, it's not about us. It's living for Jesus wherever he puts us at any time. And that is, there's a lot of freedom in Christ in that. Because that's what counts, is human beings and what God wants to do. Now, the Apostle Paul, did the bell toll for him? Yes, it did. And let's go ahead and look at the Word of God. Acts chapter 22. Or you know, just trust me, I'm a lawyer. Boy, you guys are really flipping fast. And I can see now, you're like, oh dear, oh no. Okay, Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Now, the Apostle Paul loved to share his story. Oftentimes when we evangelize, it's good to have training. That's a great thing. And I've been trained on different things. There's the Roman path, you know, there's the tree diagram, the bridge, that's my favorite. But you know what's interesting? Is how Paul gave his testimony. He shared his story. And that's what we need to do as be able to as believers. You don't have to have formal training to share what Jesus has done for you. I mean, you're getting your hair cut. You share your story, share what God's done for you. What are they going to do? Cut your hair a little faster, maybe? You know, I'm on an airplane. I travel a lot on airplanes. You're there on a Southwest airline flight where they're often full. And you share your testimony, where are they going to go? I mean, it's great, you know? And sometimes, yeah, anyway. But they aren't exactly the most receptive. But bottom line is God has given us the ability to share our stories. And let's look at what Paul did. Verse 1, Brothers and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent than he said. And let's stop right there. Is it any accident that Paul knew the Hebrew language? Did God say, oh, what a wonderful surprise. Paul knows Hebrew and so do these people. Oh, this will work out so well. No, 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 no. Our God knew everything Paul was going to need for God's glory before Paul even was. How's that for a great a planner, okay? To have someone who knows everything you're going to need for God's glory before you even were. And that's awesome. And so, does God give us things in our lives? Sometimes we have things in our lives that we just sort of go, oh, this isn't spiritual. Oh, this is, God has nothing to do with this. Oh, really? How many of you are into to gardening? Come on, it's good to be gardening. This is Southern California. You have to grow something. This is Southern California. It's not Texas. Okay. That's right. So that's a connecting point with people who are doing gardening. You know, go to the nursery and able to connect. How many are into to athletics and sports? Raise your hand. Come on. That's a connecting point. By the way, did A&M or Alabama win yesterday? Alabama? All right, well, I'm done. Thank you. No. No, but that's, boom, that's a connecting point, athletics and sports, you know? And so how many into vitamins? How many took your omega-3 fish oil this morning? I see the true believers here. Okay, boom, boom, boom. Excellent, right here. Connecting point. A lot of unbelievers are big into vitamins and nutrition. And so these are connecting points that we need to not take for granted that God is allowed to be in our lives to be able to connect with people who are lost. Now, it will connect with others. Let's continue on. Verse 3. I'm indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there, to Jerusalem to be punished. Okay, how many of you would like to invite him to your next Bible study? You wouldn't. He was like the Osama bin Laden of the early church. He was the living nightmare. He was the last one you would ever want to come to anything about with Christ. And yet, what happens? Did God strike him dead? Did God go, and the church rejoiced, yay, the wicked slain? And no, let's take a look at verse 6. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. Whoa. Did God strike him dead? No, he did quite the opposite. He died for him through Jesus Christ. And what's really great is in verse 6, is what it doesn't say. Notice it doesn't say, now as I was on my way praying to the Lord with a humble heart, seeking the Lord's direction, meditating on the word, seeking the Lord. No, it's nowhere there. In verse 6, what does it say? He's on his way to Damascus to get those Christians. Paul makes it clear he brought nothing to the table to deserve God's grace. Nothing. And you know what? We bring nothing to the table either to deserve God's grace, because he gets all glory and all honor. And, you know, Satan would like to sometimes have people think who have yet to receive Christ, well, when you get your act together, when you give up this habit or this habit, then you can become a Christian. Oh, no, 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 no. You won't ever become a Christian. Because that only happens through the work of God and the Holy Spirit and the transforming process of the Word. No, that happens after you surrender. And that's all God wants. Surrender, receive my forgiveness and my redemption, and surrender your life to me. And he moves in because he gets the glory. And that's what's awesome. So the story, it was prepared by God. It wasn't prepared by man. It wasn't prepared by Paul. It was prepared by God. Third is that it has a purpose. It has a purpose. Verse 15, well, for the sake of time, he's blinded by the light. He's led to Damascus. He hooks up with a follower of the Lord, Ananias. Ananias hooks up with him and gives him this exhortation in verse 15. It says, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Wow. You mean, Paul, your story doesn't just end with you coming to Jesus and then kicking back and woo-hoo, just waiting for heaven? Woo-hoo. No, no. It's reaching out Now, who's he wanting to reach out to? What special people? How is he supposed to? All men. What does all mean? It means all, okay? It means all. That's what all means. So that's what God wants us to do, is be willing to connect with people outside our zone. And even when it seems like it's a waste of time, I'll never forget it. I was looking to get out of my house in Citrus Heights, California, where I used to live. Have you guys been to Citrus Heights? A very prestigious community of, okay, no, it's not. Anyway, but it's a little town near Sacramento. And I saw this house for sale. It's for sale by owner. And this guy sees me writing down the phone number, and he goes, 18-year-old guy, and he goes, hey, you interested in the house? I said, well, yeah. He says, well, you want me to show it to you? I said, well, I don't know. Your folks saying? No, it's my uncle. He's not here, but he really needs to sell it. I know he'd be happy for me to show it to you. I mean, he really's got to sell it. I thought, oh, this is good. No. But so I said, okay, if you don't mind. So he keeps me in, and there's one room is an add-on. Now, every house in this neighborhood had at least one add-on, okay? It was an add-on kind of neighborhood. And so it had a slanting roof, and then it had a floor that sort of matched the slanting of the roof. And this old casino carpet, but it was the largest room in the house. And I looked at this and I said, wow. I said, you could have like a Bible study, a little mini church service in here. This is great. And he goes, oh, are you a Christian? I go, yeah, are you? He goes, no. I said, well, what are you? He goes, you don't want to know. I said, oh, yes, I do. So let's sit down and talk. Because I thought, I'll never be able to afford this house anyway, which, by the way, I ended up getting the house by God's grace. But I sit down and talk to him, and he said, well, in college, I've learned some new ways of thinking. And so really, like, what may be right for you may not be right for me? Yeah. And how all things are relative? Yeah. And how there are no absolutes and rights and wrongs? He goes, yeah. I said, let me tell you why that's wrong. And so, because I went to public colleges, I know all the garbage they give you, you know. And so anyway, I went through, gave him the tree diagram or the bridge diagram, and gave him more than a carpenter, and I just thought, what a waste of my time. One ear and out the other. 17 years later, a young man knocks on my door, and someone was house sitting for us at the time. But he says, yeah, my name's Ben, and this guy, Brad, he still lives here. Well, he went and shared with me the gospel, and I rejected it. And I made some bad decisions. I went to prison. But while I was in prison, I remember what he shared with me. And I finally surrendered my life to Christ. And I'm now in full-time ministry. And I want to come by and thank him. And I felt this high when I realized how afterwards, what my attitude was. What a waste of my time. And it's not about us. It's about surrendering to the Lord and letting God work. Isn't that awesome? And that's a true story, too. No. Okay, so that was the lawyer joke. I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, so it's not about us. It's all about him. Now, personally, I thought through my testimony and who God is encouraging me to share it with. I remember when I was a young boy, and I was a new Christian. I was so on fire for Jesus. I could take a piece of burnt toast and say, see this piece of burnt toast? This is what you're going to look like in hell if you don't receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, right now. I was just a little on fire, a little zealot. And I violated the law for Jesus. I got all these gospel tracts from my church, the Baptist church, and I went in my neighborhood and one public mailbox at a time, violated the penal code. You know, I mean, I blanketed the place. And they can't get me now. Statute of limitations expired, so. But I was so on fire. And then when junior high came along, in a junior high, I was a little more sophisticated, more dignified, I would wait for people to approach me and ask about the joy that is within me, that they too may share in the, yeah, right. So the reality was, the truth is, I forgot my first love. I began to take God's grace for granted. I began to cheapen his grace because I did take it for granted. And I began to cheapen what he did on the cross for me. And the truth is, God wants me to remember his love, remember what he did for me on the cross. It's one of the great things about communion that this church does, is because it reminds us of what he did on the cross, and worship, it reminds us what he's done for us, and it lets us appreciate it. Another reason people may not share their faith is not because they've taken his forgiveness for granted, but because they've never actually really received in the first place. There may be someone here in this situation where you've gone to church a lot, you've done your tithes, you went to church, men's camp or women's camp, or you did all these things, and you've sort of been going through the motion, but you never really felt like you had a personal relationship with the Lord. And the reason could be because you've never received his forgiveness. There may be something in your closet. Could be something yesterday, could be something 50 years ago. And it's so shameful, and it's so disgraceful in this dark closet you've got. By the way, everyone has one, just for the record, okay? But it's something so shameful and disgraceful, you say to yourselves, how could God forgive me for this? Because this is so bad, I can't even forgive myself. You know what we're really saying to God when we say that? It's the same as walking up to Jesus Christ on the cross. And just picture him on the cross, dying, and bearing his blood on the cross in pain and agony, gasping for breath. And we walk up to him, and we say, nice try, Jesus. But you see, for me, that's just not good enough. And fortunately, our Lord and Savior had a response for that lie on the cross. And his response was, it is finished. And all we have to do in humility is to believe it and receive it. And he will separate our sin as far as the east is from the west. That's how powerful our God is. That's how powerful what he did on the cross is for us. And so no matter what it is, whatever it is that Satan has been, and maybe you're a believer, where you're just simply struggling with this sin keeps popping up and keeps gnawing at you, and Satan just loves to get you gnawing, just loves to. You, from now on, we need to respond with, you know what, Satan? That's already covered by the cross, and I give glory and praise to God for his forgiveness, and not to entertain that, because that's the power of the cross. And I hope if anyone has not received Christ, that they will do so this morning. Next is, God's fully equipped me to deal with adversity. Yay, guaranteed, you will have adversity, okay? 2 Timothy 3:12 makes it very clear, for indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Promise, no exception. There's no, unless you live in the United States of America, God's country, no, there's no escape clause. You're living for Jesus, your life will be an offense, an affront to people who don't know the Lord oftentimes, who aren't ready to receive Christ. That light is just glaring in their eyes, and they don't like it. And so we need to be prepared for that. Secondly, guaranteed, God already has a plan for it. Nothing takes our God by surprise. When you share Christ, does it always end up like a 700 Club commercial? No. You know, oh yes, I want to receive. No, sometimes you get a black eye, you lose your job. That happens. And yet, you know what? It doesn't take God by surprise. Well done, good and faithful servant. And God will continue to work. And now, personally, how will I respond to adversity? That's the question. Will I respond to adversity like the Apostle Paul, or will I cower in fear? Third, God has fully equipped me when the bell tolls to never, never, never give up. Paul has shared his testimony. Verse 21, they said to me, depart, for I'll send you far away, far from here to the Gentiles. In verse 22, we see the audience's response. What's their response? And they listened to him until this word. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live. Okay, this is not a good time for an altar call. I mean, this is really bad, okay? Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, back then there was a code name for, we really, really don't like you, okay? The commander ordered him to be brought in the barracks, and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. Verse 25, this is really bad, okay? I mean, verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? Whoa! Paul has claimed his rights of due process under the law, and yet he does the most non-offensive manner possible form of a question. Why does Paul do this? I mean, look at the reality, Paul. This is a loser. You obviously missed your calling. apologize and go back to Tarshish and be a journalist or something. You know what I mean? Why does he do this? Paul understands, first, that it's not about results. If God is worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise, and we really believe that when we sing it, folks, he's also the one that does the work and the results, and how he works is up to him. What is it about then? It's about obedience. Paul, it's about obedience. Are you going to be obedient to the call of God in your life? Not about results. And that's really important. In fact, God taught me this once. I was guest preaching in a church in Anchorage. Large, I think it's the largest Baptist church in Anchorage. They had the big spotlights and it was real big. And I'm thinking, I was like, oh, this is so great, exciting, all these people, it was wonderful. Next Sunday, I spoke at a Baptist church in Juneau, Alaska. It was an evening service. The pastor showed up and no one else did. And I just laughed because I knew it's not about results. It's just about being where God wants you to be. I said, Pastor, let's visit. Let's see, you know. And that's how God works. That's how God works. And there's a lot of freedom in Christ that comes when we realize that. Paul also understood that everything that he had, everything, including his rights as a Roman citizen, was a gift from God. Not man, a gift from God to be used for God's glory. Paul understood it, and he took advantage of it. He also would relinquish his rights, too, at times, because he did it because he knew it wasn't about the rights, it was about using it for God's glory, and he understood that. Now, today, do we have challenges? Yes, we do. First, am I ready to persevere at work? We at Pacific Justice are right now defending a professor of a city college in Fresno. He actually got a Nobel Prize. He was teaching health science. Once it was discovered, though, that he was teaching about the adverse effects of different sexual practices and lifestyles that are very politically popular now in some parts of California. I think I coded in there. I covered everyone. If I was in Texas, I'd have to give more explanation. But anyway, they got out that he was teaching this, and they started an investigation. They went on YouTube and found him giving a sermon at his church on a Wednesday night. They immediately demoted him and said he's too biased to be able to be head of health science department. Now, in Castro's Cuba, former Soviet Union, demoting people in public service because of their faith, I could expect that. Not in the United States of America. And so we're representing him. And we also represent like a teacher in Long Beach, and he was told he had to put a certain flag with different colors in a school. Taught special ed kids a nice rainbow flag and wear a red shirt for the day of silence. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. He was forced out of his job. We filed a lawsuit, had a nice settlement. I'll just leave it at that. So, and we're real pleased about how that turned out. We also go to bat for people who are with the union. Now, if God's given you a position of leadership or influence in your union, is that a mistake? No, it's a wonderful opportunity to be salt and light for people in your union. Be a positive influence for the people in your union. Wonderful opportunity. Conversely, sometimes people are in a different situation, and that is they're a part of a union that has issues, supports issues, causes, and candidates that go clearly against the holy word of God. And those people are in a really tough position to financially support that. So what happens to them? Well, I've got some good news. Under Title VII, Federal Civil Rights Statute, these people are protected to have every penny of their union dues, all of it, diverted to a charity that's in agreement with their faith instead of their union. All of it. Not part of it, all of it. And not just the political part. The agency fee, fair share, all of it. And so if you're interested in information about that, you can go to our website, pacificjustice.org, or choosecharity.org is another website we created. But either way, whether you're either camp you're in, do so for the glory of God and follow what God's leading is, whatever it may be, whichever camp you're in. Am I ready to persevere at school? We had a young boy just 3 months ago. He was 5 years old. His dad was a worship leader. And he was playing on the guitar, a Christian song, it was called God of Mercy. And he was going to do it for the talent show. And the school said, oh no, you can do God Bless America, but not that God song, because that's too religious. And they, his mother was a teacher, they wouldn't back down. She called us. Guess what? There was a talent show, and a boy played God of Mercy. And and he was so on fire afterwards, because he felt empowered at the age of 5. No one can stop me from sharing Jesus. I mean, the kid was just, it was awesome. And then in the public schools, we see a lot of other challenges as well. For example, they just recently passed AB 1266, which says that boys can go into girls' showers and bathrooms and locker rooms. You heard about, how many heard of that, about that before? Raise your hand. Oh, yes, good. We at Pacific Justice, we fought it, and we couldn't stop it. Good news, though, is we're right now getting signatures to have it repealed, hopefully. We get enough, but I think there's a good chance we will. We also have notices for parents. They can download them on our website to preserve their right to privacy of their children, which is very important from a legal perspective. And then we're also prepared, if it goes into effect January 1st, to be able to challenge it once we have our first victims from it, and to challenge it aggressively in federal court. But it's hideous. It's not even logical. It is totally hideous. And yet, that's where we're at in our public schools. We also had one deal with counseling, SB 1172, to help people under the age of 18 who are struggling with same-sex attraction. And it's not that unusual, particularly in early adolescence, to have some feelings in this regard. It's a very fluid issue in adolescence oftentimes. And this law says they can't get any counseling from a licensed counselor, even if they're a pastor who's a licensed counselor, if that steers them away from same-sex attraction. I'm like, what? This is the United States of America. If a young person wants that counseling in accordance with his faith, he can't get it? No, they have to leave the state of California to get it. So we at Pacific Justice filed a lawsuit, and a federal judge granted our injunction motion on behalf of the Christian counselors we're representing. Then it went to the Ninth Circuit. State of California is a sore loser, so they appealed it. And Ninth Circuit, they got 3 liberal judges or unconstitutional judges in my mind, and to reverse our earlier victory. Now we are filed just this last week our motion for an en banc hearing for the larger Ninth Circuit, and then we'll take it to the Supreme Court if necessary. Because it's real important for people in religious and Christian counseling not to be shut down by an intolerant government of the state of California. Then we had SB 323, the Anti-Boy Scouts Bill, which basically would, every nonprofit youth organization would lose their state tax exempt status unless they're willing to hire homosexual or transsexual youth leaders. It passed by more than 2/3 in the state Senate. Went to the state assembly. People spoke up. They called their legislators. And the good news is, we just found out recently that they came up short, by two votes. And it may come back again next year, but the good news, all these wonderful organizations like Awanas and Young Life and Youth for Christ and Boy Scouts and all these great, they're now still protected, which is great. I'm excited about that. So do we have issues in public schools? Yes, but God has given grace, and we'll continue to be vigilant. Am I ready to persevere at community involvement? There's countless numbers of churches that we've protected and defended. There was one big one. I can give you lots of stories. And they have happy endings, by the way. But my favorite is San Leandro. A church there bought a building up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and the city said, oh, we're not going to let you have that church. We're not going to let you move in that building because it's not zoned for churches. We're not going to let you be there. And so we filed a lawsuit, federal judge from San Francisco, ruled against the church. Said, no, these are all valid reasons to keep out churches. We appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I know what you're thinking. What good thing could come from the Ninth Circuit? Let me just tell you something. If in the Old Testament, God can speak through a donkey, So the Ninth Circuit heard the case, and in a stunning reversal, reversed completely the lower court's decision and says you cannot keep a church from moving into a building for the reasons you stated, including negative economic impact or lack of tax revenue. And it was a wonderful victory, a stunning precedent for the rest of the country, actually, that we haven't seen before. It was a broader precedent than we've ever seen on that issue. And I'm excited about that, to see what God's doing and the impact he's making. It's a war memorial. Lake Elsinore called us because they're being sued to stop a war memorial, which has a grave scene cemetery plot from World War II with little crosses and stars of David on it. And we at Pacific Justice are representing them. And of course, we are charging them $1 for, so that's good. See, they got a good deal. They really did. So, but we had to charge them for legal reasons since it was a city government. But anyway, bottom line is, we should not cower. We should be encouraged. And by the way, if you'd like to keep up with our cases at all, there's many more I could tell you about, or you'd like to keep us in your prayers and maybe even possibly support our work, be a partner of our ministry, please fill this out. It's in your bulletin. You guys see it there? Yeah, thank you. Very good. Let's make sure. You can wave it if you want. No, that's easy. No, but feel free to fill that out, and it means a lot to me personally, keep you guys updated, and at the very least, be prayer warriors. By the way, if you are a prayer warrior, right at the bottom, prayer warrior, you know if you are one, because we also have a prayer warrior team that intercedes for things that come up. Now, some of you may have heard this message this morning and thought, well, that was a nice little sermon, but I don't think it really applies to me because I don't have the skills or the talents for God to really be able to use me. And for those of you who are thinking that, I have just a little brief story which will hopefully encourage you. It's about a young boy who was 16 years old. He'd given his life to Christ, and he was driving to school one day in a small car, and he was going up a hill, and a motorcycle was passing cars and hit him head-on in his lane. The motorcycle went smashing through his windshield, and not only his windshield, but also part of his skull. It was a very gruesome accident. They had to cut a large hole out of his skull, size of a silver dollar, just for the one-third of his brain, the left frontal lobe, to swell. It was a very terrible accident. The left frontal lobe deals with logic, reasoning, analytical skills, and speech communications, okay? The doctors initially told his parents that your son's had major brain damage. If he lives, he could still be a vegetable, you may still have to pull the cord. We just don't know. Initially, he could not remember his younger brother's name. As far as the world was concerned, this boy and his future was in the trash, only be pitied for what could have been. And yet God, in his sovereignty, in his own work, in his own way, is a great recycler, Californians. And so he decided, by his grace and providence, to do an incredible work with this young boy. He had tremendous healing over the next year and a half. He went on to college, and he graduated with a degree in finance from Texas A&M University with a 3.85 in his major. Worked 2 years, put himself through law school at the University of Texas, graduated in the top half of his class. For those of you who have not guessed, yes, that is me. And yay, and the reason I'm sharing this is not so you'll say, there's the Lord's anointed, for God has given him a special, no. Talk to my wife. She'll tell you after 13 years of marriage that my halo is still very crooked. So God's still working on me. Guys, you want to get humbled, get married, that's half the battle. God uses women in an awesome way in that regard, in a positive way. So, but anyway, the reason I'm sharing though is because if you've given your life to Christ, I don't care who you are, you have received an anointing from the Lord. His hand is on your life. And it's only a matter of us just with a heart of humility and surrendering to be willing to let God work through us. If I hadn't gone through that accident, I wouldn't be here now. Oh, I'd be a Christian. But I'd be just too cocky and proud in many ways, I think. But when God basically takes everything from you, and you look in the mirror and your face is all, this has all been reconstructed, the whole left side of my face, I have hip bone and hard silicone, and look at my, I said, God, why don't you just take me home? I'm obviously no good for you down here. I realized it wasn't about me. I realized it was all about him and what he wants to do through us. And that applies to every single one who's received Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's awesome. Some of you may have not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And this morning I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, we praise you, Lord God, that you are on your throne. No matter what we're going through in life, no matter what the struggles, whether it's family members who are sick, whether it's financial struggles with a job or employment, whether it's relational issues, all kinds of issues, Lord God. You know them inside and out, Father, and yet you love us as your children. and you embrace us, and you're with us, Lord, no matter what we're going through, and you're involved in our lives. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we pray, Lord, also that you will, you know, not just take care of us, our needs, and we recognize that, Lord God, but you will flood us with your love, Father. Just overflow us with the love of Christ, Father, to be willing to reach out to people around us who don't know you, who are dying desperately inside to know you in a real and personal way. Father, put our hearts on fire, Lord, with your love. And Father, we also pray for those who may not know you in a personal way. Yeah, they may be religious, may have gone to church and gone through all the motions, but they really don't know you in a personal way. I've never fully received your forgiveness. For those in that situation, Lord, I just pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to move right now, Father, and your word. And if anyone who's in that situation with every head bowed, just simply say this prayer with me right now. Just simply say, Lord God, I'm a sinner. You know everything in my past. You know everything I've done. And I right now in humility, Lord God, receive your forgiveness and your payment for those sins on the cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. I right now, Father, thank you, Father, in faith for forgiving me and separating that sin as far as the east is from the west. I thank you for that, and I surrender my life to you, Lord, right now. Make me the person you want me to be, so to serve you, Lord, and live for you. Just you take my life, God. It's yours. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, I'm going to tell you something. Satan is really ticked off because he just lost his hand of control in your life. And now the Lord has moved in, and the angels in heaven are rejoicing. But he has a consolation prize. His consolation prize is, says, I hope that they will just forget about it. I hope they will just tell no one and just totally forget about it so they can't be discipled and encouraged. So to make sure that Satan doesn't get that one either, I just wanted you to, if you just, we're not going to make you come forward, nothing, but if you just prayed that prayer, we just simply raise your hands so we can clap and welcome you into God's family. Did anyone here pray at all this morning pray that prayer? Anyone at all? Anyone at all? Okay. Well, saints, praise God. That means we're all going to heaven, and we all know Jesus. Now, let's learn to live for Jesus this week and sharing his love with other people. God bless you, and thank you very much.